Each year when we take a look at Purim and Megillat Esther, we try to find some type of theme that runs through the Chag, through the Megillah. Again, almost like a color in a tapestry that once pointed out, it stands out and is so apparent. This year, the theme that I'd like to talk about in Mirat Hashem is the theme of Tshuva. And there's a lot to say about the idea of Tshuva, of repentance within the Megillah, within Purim. The structure I'd like to use in Mirat Hashem is based on source number one, Yiduim Divrei HaZohar HaKadosh Shekatav, Sheyom Kippurim Hainu Kippurim, that the day Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Yom Kippurim, a day Kippurim, like Purim. V'yesh la'yein b'shorash ha'dvarim, ma ben Yom HaPurim li'Yom HaKippurim. And the obvious question is, in what way is Yom Kippur and Purim synonymous? Clearly, Yom Kippur is a day we know that screams out tshuva. Purim in no way screams out tshuva. It screams out merrymaking. It screams out party. The 2 days seem to be antithetical one to each other. I'd like to try to do a Mirat Hashem today to create the sacred sanctity of Purim. It's to take a look at three ideas in which there's a similarity between Purim and Yom Kippur. Then just take a peek at the Megillah and the theme of tshuva, and then we'll end in what way Purim is different than Yom Kippur, Purim even higher than Yom Kippur, and how we can access the tshuva of Purim, and how that affects and relates to our actions and behavior on Purim. What's the first connection between the two? So Rabbi Strixloff, in his Sefer Inside Purim notes in source number 2, based on more of a Shemesh, Purim is like Yom Kippur, because both days contain casting of Purim of lots, followed by salvation. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol draws lots to decide which of the two goats to be the seer Lazazo, the scapegoat, which is to be hurled off the cliff, and which is to be La Hashem for Hashem. And we know that a good generation, when the Kohen Gadol would put his hands into the lottery box, La Hashem would come out, Miyad Yimino, in his right hand. And we know, similarly on Purim, Mordechai and Esther affected the removal of the evil decrees against the Jews after Haman cast lots to destroy them. And that perhaps is hinted at when it says, and Queen Esther, daughter of Avichael, and Mordechai the Jew wrote with full authority to ratify the second letter of Purim. What is the second letter, the second Purim? Purim is the second day of lots, aside from Yom Kippur. Purim is also a day of lots. We'll mention parenthetically, Rav Meiflish brings in his Sefer that we know, we've spoken about in the past, that Purim is a powerful day of tefillah, and this is a reminder that for a lottery, you buy, you know, a small amount of money to buy a lottery ticket, and you can win millions of dollars. With a little bit of tefillah and Purim, you can create great salvation. So that's another hint in the name Purim itself. Let's take this analogy, this connection between Purim and Yom Kippur connected to lots. Okay, so Purim has a lottery, Yom Kippur has a lottery. That's enough to connect Purim and Yom Kippur together? Clearly not. It has to go deeper. And indeed, the Shvilei Pinchas takes this a level deeper. And he notes, and this is based on the B'nai Yisoschar's question, why do we have the name Purim in the plural, when it would seem that Haman cast one lot that would fall on Yud Gimel Adar? So why the plural? Again, many answers to this question. One of the answers that B'nai Yisoschar offers in source number 4 is the following. When Haman cast the lot on Yisrael, he elicited a reaction in the heavens above. In the heaven, lots were also cast, namely the two lots cast by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So what was really going on here is that when Haman is drawing his lots down here, there is simultaneous, kivyachol, another lottery going on. Hashem, too, is deciding, will the Jewish people be La Hashem and be saved, or will they be La Azazel, and indeed the edict of Haman will come true and they'll be thrown off the cliff. So when we talk about the plural Purim, there are really two lots going on, the lot of Haman and simultaneous the Yom Kippur lot up in Shamayim, what would be the fate of the Jews? And we know, continuing in source number 5, that when Ahasuerus took off his ring to give it to Haman to sign, seal these letters, that affected a greater tshuva movement than the 48 prophets and the 7 prophets did. It elicited a tshuva of Klal Yisrael. That's our deeper understanding here. That when we talk about Yom Kippur is clearly a day of tshuva, Purim is also a day that's connected with tshuva. When the lottery was happening down here, which elicited a Yom Kippur reaction in Shamayim, it also elicited a Yom Kippur reaction down here on earth, where Mordechai went out, and he screamed a great cry, and he brought the people to this level of tshuva, this level of fasting, this level of prayer. So we had a reenactment, so to speak, of Yom Kippur through the lots that brought the people to do a full tshuva. It's fascinating that, to take this a little bit further in source number 8, when Esther invites Ahasuerus to the party, she says, Yavo HaMelech VaHaman HaYom, let you, the king, and Haman come today. And we know the Arizal points out the Rosh Tevot of Yavo HaMelech VaHaman HaYom spells out the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Really, Esther Amalka was inviting, she prayed that Hashem would place upon Yisrael the lot that had the name Yud Kei Vav Kei written on it. Conversely, would place upon Haman the lot that had Azazel written on it. When she was inviting them to the party, it was her prayer that Klal Yisrael would be the ones that were going to come up with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, with life in their lottery, and that through this party, it would be Haman's downfall and he'd be ridden, so to speak, Lazazel, over the cliff. It's very fascinating that when we look at the actual name of the holiday, the bottom of source number 8, therefore they called these days Purim. And the Hebrew is, they called these days Purim al Shem HaPur, literally on the name of, in reference to, the poor. At a deeper level, al Shem HaPur means for the name of Havaya, the Shem. The Shem is the ultimate name, the name of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that poor, that lottery should fall out, the Shem on Klal Yisrael, that we would be saved. That's what the holiday is all about. Just to take this a little bit deeper, the Shulei Pinchas, which is really this entire Maimer in 5779, Tafshin Ayin Tet, he speaks about that Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, can only be filled when Amalek is destroyed. We read in Purim morning, Ki Yad Al Keska Mechama LaShem BaAmalek Midor Dor, that as long as Amalek is around, the name of Hashem is Yud Kei, is a half of the name of Hashem. It's only Vaya Hashem LeMelech Al Kol HaAretz, Vayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Only in the future, with the demise of Amalek, will Hashem be one, and his name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, will be the whole name, will be one. It is fascinating that while Haman is still alive, when you read the Megillah, Ahasuerus, and we know the Melech is also Kivyochel referring to HaMelech, the Ribono Shel Olam, he always says to Esther, Ara Chatzia Machut V'Tayaf, I'll give you half the kingdom, which we understand means half the kingdom, everything but Yushalayim, whatever Torah you have on it. On a deeper level, Ad Chatzia Malchus, I can only give you half of the Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, half of Hashem's name, the Yud Kei. I can't give you the full name of Hashem because Haman is still around. As soon as Haman is hung, you never find that Ahasuerus makes this offer with the condition of half the Malchus, because we no longer need this idea of half the Malchus. Amalek is destroyed, the full name of Hashem is around. And on this level is a final idea in source number 9. It's not by accident, as Shulei Pinchas says, that Mordechai is referred to as Ish Yimini, the right-hand man, which we understand is from Binyamin. But Ish Yimini is literally the right-hand man, because he's really Ish Yehudi, he's from Yehuda. Based on what we're saying, Ish Yimini means he is the man who through the Klal Yisrael's tshuva ensured that the Yudke Vavke, that the lottery of Klal Yisrael, would indeed be B'yad Yamin on the right hand. So idea number one, what is the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur? Both of them are days of lottery. Both of them are days of salvation. And really, the Purim lottery elicited a Yom Kippur-like lottery. And Esther Amalka is davening that we, Klal Yisrael, should fall out, B'yad Yamini, on the right hand, through Mordechai, the Ish Yamini. And it was done through Klal Yisrael's tshuva, which was a major part of enabling Klal Yisrael to be saved. Idea number one, where tshuva is a theme on the Purim day and on the history in the Megillah. Idea number two, the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur. Shavita Zahav, Rav Kluger, points out that we know Purim u'bechinas Kabbalah luchot shneios, hadar kibluha ma'ava. On Purim, we re-receive the Torah again out of love. The Gran notes, Shesudas Purim hu hashlama sudas Yom Kippurim, al simchas kabbalos luchos hashniot shahaya az. We know that Mavan Har Sinai, Matan Torah, is a day wherein our rabbis discuss, should you spend the holidays kulo lashem, completely to Hashem, or kulo lachem, completely to you? So they say you do half and half. However, everyone agrees that the day we receive the Torah has to be a day of feasting and festivity to show how much we love Torah. Ashreinu matov chokenu, how fortunate is our portion. Yom Kippur, really, we got Torah on 3 days. We got it on Shavuos, and those luchos, those tablets were destroyed. We got the second set of tablets on Yom Kippur. Ah, what happened to those second set of tablets? Those are the tablets that were the ones that we kept. However, we don't celebrate on Yom Kippur with feasting. We fast. So to be able to complement the fasting on Yom Kippur, we take another day of Kabbalah Satorah, which is Purim, where the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah that they originally accepted in Mamad Har Sinai. And there are a lot of Torah, what this is all about. We're just doing very, very broad strokes here. And therefore, we have to make up the feasting that's missing on the fasting. And therefore, while Yom Kippur is totally to Hashem, Purim is totally to us. And it's a day completely of fasting and merrymaking and enjoying. Let's try to understand this, the two sides of the whole. In source number 12, we have, Lo ayu yamin tovim l'Yisrael ki Yom Kippurim. There were never as great as days as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. What was the greatness of Tu B'Av? It was the day Sheninu bo luchos achronos. We got the second set of luchos. But understand very clearly in the arrow in 12, our Friedlander Zatzal brings us if they chayim. Kabbalah satara zu sheba mitok tshuva ilayis. This receiving of the Torah wasn't, you know, out of the blue. It was preceded by 40 days of, a few 40 days, of real tshuva, a very high-level tshuva. Yom Kippur, albeit, is a day of receiving the Torah. It's also very much a day where we celebrate the fact that we received the Torah. We were granted this gift because of the tshuva that Klal Yisrael did. And now we come to Mamad Har, now we come to Purim. What was the story with Purim? So we know, as the Maharal points out in source number 13, the original time that we got the Torah, we were forced, Kafolem Har Kigigis, the mountain was forced over our head. Notes the Maharal in the asterisk in 13, Shelo Yaza Ones Gashmi Shakviat Har Mamish. It wasn't physical that the mountain was placed over our head. Ela Yonusi Mechamad Hakara, they were forced because of realization. The Hainu Shaidei Dalutam Ludrega Nivuah Shapanim Bepanim Diber Shami Machet. They had such clarity that Hashem was speaking them face to face. Higiula Karabi Rabbi Hashivura Torah Vegaduta. They realized the greatness of Torah. And they realized that the whole world was based on Torah. They had no option but to receive Torah. And then you have history. Where history is, we lost that sense of clarity. We lost the Atar Eitz L'Adad Ki Hashem Elokim Eino Levado. We lost that sense of the heavens opening up and we were so clear that Hashem runs the world. We entered into Golos. And now things are hidden. when Kla Yisrael are able to see the hand of Hashem now, it's not coming out of being forced. It's coming out of appreciation. It's coming out of our own initiative. And now it's a reacceptance of the Torah out of love, not of coercion, but realizing that Hashem is with us at all times. Let's develop this idea for a few minutes. This idea of Purim, the Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah, the preparation, the realization that Hashem is with us at all times. Let's take a look at the book, Removing the Mask, Rabbi Bernstein. The Gra explains in Source 16, there was something about the miracle of Purim that was not present in earlier miracles. When we originally received the Torah, we received a covenant with Hashem that involved us becoming His people and accepting to fulfill His mitzvahs. At the time the Purim story occurred, we had broken that covenant and been exiled from our land. The expectation among Jewish people was that with that covenant having been broken, the relationship between us and Hashem was more or less over. That's how we've described it. Yeshno amachad, Haman says, Yeshnu amachad, they're sleeping. Just to modernize an example that Rav Pinkus brings to draw us to this severity of the situation. Here's a modern-day mashal based on the Rav Pinkus itself. Imagine Sarah and Avi get married. Baruch Hashem, they get married, they live in Ramash Gol, she drinks her ice coffee every day, happy camper, wearing the, you know, the looking the look of Ramash Gol. If you know what I mean, great. If not, you're not missing much. And one night, she says to Avi, Avi, it's been 8 months, we've been married, everything is wonderful, Baruch Hashem, guy's learning Kolol in the mirror, I can't be happier. She says, Avi, I have to tell you that before we got married, I had a friend whose name was Yossi, and Yossi and I used to hang out. So Sarah said, you know what, Yossi just texted me, and he said that he's now in Israel learning for a bit, and he wants to know if we can hang out again. So I said, that's a great idea. So I decided, Yossi and I decided that every night, not every night, two nights a week, let's say, from 8 to 10, we'd go out, ice skating, bowling, you know, pizza, ice cream, nothing fancy. We're not going to do anything. I'm married to you, you understand? Just to chill and have some good time. And of course, I'll leave you food, you know, obviously. So what would Avi's reaction be when he hears such a thing? So we can imagine what the reaction would be. That's almost like what happened to us in the Purim story. Of course we're keeping the mitzvahs. Yeshno amachad, yeshno amachad. It wasn't giving us excitement. The marriage wasn't speaking to us. Chazal described the suda, the eating at the suda, the sin was shenanu melso suda. They enjoyed from that meal. The yossi in their lives, the partying, the bowling, the having fun, that's really where they were at. That's what gave them their chiyus, that's what gave them their life force. And clearly, they deserve to, that's almost automatic, that you're creating a nituk, a break in the relationship. What you're basically saying to Avi is, I don't really want a relationship with you, I want a relationship with someone else. The greatness of the Purim story is Avi turning to Sarah, Kivyachol, and saying, I hear that. Let's make our marriage better. I am not giving up on you. I am committed to you, come what may. That, my friends, in 17, is what happened on the Purim story. In reaching out to us at that time, Hashem was demonstrating that though we had broken the covenant with Him, our relationship with Him was not thereby broken. The strength of relationship was thus revealed specifically at that time when we had practically given up and expected that Hashem had done the same. This was the irony of the Purim story. It took the Jewish people having lapsed into a very low state to establish the strength of Hashem's love for them, and that His connection with them is eternal and unbreakable. And he notes very interestingly, we have two different openings to Birkas Kriyat Shema in the morning, davening, and in Maariv. In the morning, we're continuing source number 18, we say, Ahava Rabba, great love. When things are morning, when things are rosy and cheery and everything's great, it is Ahava Rabba, it is great love. But what happens when it's dark at night? What happens when it's the dark of the exile? What happens when we feel the darkness in our lives? Then it's no longer Ava Rabba. It's Mariv, we say, Avas Olam, eternal love. It's in the darkness, asterisk in 18, represented by the night, quote-unquote, that the love is discovered to be Avas Olam, eternal love. The story of Purim, which took place during the night of our exile from our land, may be said to be the time when we discovered that even when we do not deserve Ava Rabba, Hashem's love remains for us, Avas Olam. And that's what we say in Shoshana Yaakov, Uchuasa Maisa Lanetza, V'tikvasam V'chol Dor V'dor. You are their salvation for all eternity and their hope in each and every generation. It's continual. We can now understand why of all the miracles that Hashem performed for us. Since the time we stood at Mount Sinai, it was a miracle Purim that led us to reaccept the Torah. The discovery of the depth of Hashem's love for us that accompanied that miracle had a dramatic and decisive effect on the way we came to relate to Him. And we reciprocated His love with an expression of our own by reaccepting His Torah with love. They upheld now what they previously accepted. And this is what Klai Yisrael realized. Even if we don't keep the mitzvot, it's not about the mitzvot that Hashem loves us. He loves us for us who we are intrinsically. That is the chiddush of the Purim story. That's what we gain from the Purim story. If we had to distill down what is Purim all about, it's one word. It's love. It's eternal love. If it's Avas Olam. And hence in 20, when we call the Megillah Megillat Esther, which literally means Ligalot, to reveal the Esther, that which is concealed, that which is hidden. So we normally understand that means that Hashem's name was hidden. The Megillah is revealed. But now we're seeing something deeper. In other words, what was revealed to the Jewish people at that time was the nature of the Jewish people themselves. That Hashem loves us no matter what happened. That this is the greatness. We're revealing our own identity and our own connection to the Baruch Shalom. So now we can appreciate in 21, when on Purim, the Kohen Gadol enters into Lifnai V'Lifnim, into the innermost chambers, and it's about accessing our deepest selves and seeing where we went wrong and improving on it. Purim is also about entering into the deepest part of ourselves. And it's accessing a different part. It's not accessing so much what we did wrong. That's Yom Kippur. It's accessing the love that Hashem has for us. And because of that love, how can I reciprocate that? How can I live a life that love will meet love? And with this, my friends, we can appreciate. In 24b, Siftei Chaim, Nimsa Shelimura Ikari Bimea Purim Hi, the major lesson of Purim, Hashkachat Hashem, the divine providence, Vavato Lamo, and how much Hashem loves us. Bechol Matzav Af Beit Galu VeHester, in every situation, even in exile. Kasher Nagad Tivit Munheged Ayido Yiparach L'Tovat Am Yisrael. Vaidei Hakarat Zo. Through this understanding, through this recognition, Magi'im L'Shlemus Bavad Hashem, we come to a fullness, a wholeness in our love of Hashem. Umitkashrim elavi parach de kabbalah satorah mechadesh ma'ava. And that's the reacceptance of the Torah. My relationship with Hashem has a new view. Sarah turning as if to Avi and says, wow, even after what I just said to you, you're ready to hold on? Well, I really see you love me. And then that gives a deeper appreciation. And that's the Kabbalat HaTorah Mechadash Hi Yasibah L'Simcha Gdola B'Purim. This is the great joy of Purim. Asher B'Simcha Zu Mashlimim Anu Et HaChaser B'Simcha Mishna B'Yom Kippurim. And this is making up for the lack of Simcha and Mishna and Purim, which was also a Kabbalah. And our challenge is Al Tiyah Chasadol B'Simcha Zu Chitzonit B'Ovat Aleinu L'Ishtadeo Ki Simcha Purim Tiyah Pnimi Mitoch HaKara B'Kabbalat HaTorah Mechadash. And the chitzonius is the chizuk l'pnimius. You know, so often if you go over to somebody who's having a grand old time on Purim, you know, dressed up like a clown and, you know, drinking away or whatever, you know, eating all this sugar high, and you say to them, why are you happy? They say to you, it's Purim. And you say, yeah, I know that. So why are you happy? I told you it's Purim. Yeah, I get it. But what makes you happy on Purim? It's Purim. You're supposed to be happy. And you're going around in circles. And you're missing the boat. Because if that's the way you're to go around in circles, then your observance of Purim is going to be a completely external day of gaiety and joy without any meaning. Why am I happy on Purim? Because it's about understanding, recognizing that Hashem loves me. And that no matter what happens, Hashem loves me. And that I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always connected to me. And it's a day of joy that I am reconnected to Him. It's a day that I'm celebrating Kabbalah Satara. There are people that eat cheesecake on Purim morning like Shavuos. It's to remind ourselves it's a Kabbalah Satara. Purim is a day where men and boys should find time to learn Torah. Because it's a day of Kabbalah Satara. How could you not learn Torah on such a day? We have to get our priorities straight. This is a day of Simcha. It's a day of Simchas Torah. It's a day of rejoicing with the Torah. Why we rejoice in this way, we'll get to, and we'll talk about. Let me just sum up this level with two ideas. One is found on the bottom of source with no number. We know that when Klal Yisrael entered into Midbar Sinai to receive the Torah, it says, Ma biatam lemidbar Sinai b'tshuva, just like they're coming to the wilderness of Sinai was in a state of repentance. After siatam and refidim b'tshuva, so too their journey from refidim was in a state of repentance. In order for Klal Yisrael to get the Torah Mamad Har Sinai, they had to proceed it with repentance. Before Klal Yisrael was able to get the Torah on the second set of Luchos on Yom Kippur, they had to have repentance. And in order for us to get the Torah on Purim, we too need to have repentance. That repentance is Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha, and Simcha we know is Amuna, is connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's preparing us. And there's also another level of preparation, 25. The Sefer Tamei Minhagim brings down. The Eliyahu Rabbah says that Hashem forgives the sins of the Jews on Purim, just like He does on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was established exclusively as a kapara, atonement for the sin of the golden calf, which the Jews worship with festive eating and drinking. This is why we abstain from eating and drinking on that day as atonement. Purim, on the other hand, saw salvation of the Jews through their fasting and tshuva. And consequently, Purim is celebrated by means of eating and drinking. Listen closely. Nevertheless, each holiday has both elements of feasting and fasting, in that Yom Kippur is preceded by a day associated with the mitzvah to eat, Erev Yom Kippur, and Purim is preceded by a day of fasting, Tanis Esther, which is a day of kol kulo tshuva, a complete day of tshuva. That's why we have fasting of tshuva that prepare us for the receiving of the Torah, like that apex of receiving of the Torah. In fact, Rav Meisel brings down that this year, 3 days before Yantiv Purim, not Shushan Purim, regular Purim, is Shabbos Zachar. That's like the Shoshim Hagbalah. We're already starting to prepare ourselves for receiving of the Torah, and our mindset has to be in saying Ava Rabba, in the Birkas HaTorah, with more Kavana, really gearing ourselves up for Kabbalah HaTorah, because that is what the Simcha of Purim is about, and that's the linkage of Yom Kippur and Purim. They're really, literally two sides of the same whole. Eating, fasting, fasting, eating, one complements each other. That's the second connection between Purim and Yom Kippur. The third, which is a little bit more esoteric, I'll just do it very briefly, and then we'll take a glimpse into the Megillah. 26. Generally, Yamim Tovim are spent dedicating half to Hashem, and half to Hashem. Half to us and half to Hashem. Yom Kippur is spent kula l'Hashem, completely dedicated to Hashem, and Purim is spent kula l'Hashem, completely dedicated to ourselves. The reason for this is that between the two of them, Purim and Yom Kippur, are two halves of the one Yantif. They are together, they are chetzio l'Hashem, chetzio l'Hashem. They each bring a person to purity, but in different ways. Here's the key, the arrow 26. On Yom Kippur, we pull the Torah, the purity, out of the tomb of the impurity, while on Purim, we go into the impurity to extract the purity. Let's try to understand this. 27, to illustrate, this is all based on a piece from the Shvilei Pinchas brings down from the Yid HaKadosh. To illustrate, imagine that one is removing gold from gold ore, the process by which one obtains pure gold. The first step is to remove all the gold you can from the ore. This is Yom Kippur. The leftover material will be a waste product containing both other metals, the impurities, and a small amount of gold that is more strongly bonded to those other metals. The second step is to literally go into the waste product, the impurities, find those pieces of pure gold, and extract them. This is Purim. On Yom Kippur, we fast, making it relatively easy to acquire holiness and purity. However, on Purim, when we are feasting, it's more a difficult task. Drinking wine and feasting can very easily lead to disgraceful and unholy gluttony and drunkenness. Yet in Purim, we elevate these physical acts by engaging in them for the sake of a mitzvah. This is how we extract the tara from the tumah on Purim. It's how we eat. It's how we drink. It's doing it in a way of holiness. Both of them are about accessing holiness. Yom Kippur is a little bit easier. I fast. I'm completely holy. Purim is about going into the eating and drinking and doing it l'shem mitzvah. I'm doing it for the sake of God. I'm able to elevate the physical. And the Yid HaKadosh knows something very fascinating. We'll just make mention of it. When we have the calendar set up the way we do, of Lo Adu Rosh, that there's certain days Yom Kippur can only fall out. Yom Kippur can only fall out on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Shabbos. Purim, on the other hand, can regular Purim, not Shusha Purim, can only fall out on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. What's the difference? So we explained, look at what was created in those days. On Sunday, let's talk about Yom Kippur first. Monday, what was created? The firmament. Nothing impure is connected with the firmament. Yom Kippur can also fall out on Wednesday. Those were the Ma'oros, the constellations. No impurity connected with them. Thursday, the fish was created. No impurity connected with them. Shabbos, obviously no impurity connected with them. Yom Kippur falls out on the days of the week that the original creation story, there was nothing created that is Makabel Tumah. Now let's look at Purim. Sunday. Well, Sunday, the heaven and earth was created. Well, earth is Makabel Tumah, something that made from the earth can become impure. Tuesday, the trees were completed. The earthenware vessels, all of this is Makabel Tumah. Friday, people were created, animals were created, carcasses. Makabel Tumah. Ah, what about both fall out on Thursday? So Thursday from the Torah, no fish is Makabel Tumah. Yom Kippur is a holiday from the Torah. Midrabanan, from the rabbis, there are certain types of fish oils that can be Makabel Tumah. And Purim is a holiday from the rabbis. Just to take this idea one step deeper, a little bit of deep Torah here. I'm not sure I really understand it, but work with me anyway in 29. This idea of Yom Kippur being completely pure and Purim about coming down and trying to elevate it helps us explain something. This is an idea from Rav Nachman Breslov, that on Yom Kippur we are nourished from our tefillos that create a man-like experience. It's as if our tefillos create that spiritual food called the man, and that's what nourishes us on Yom Kippur. And hence, Rav Sadok points out that all the stories about the man are found in the Gemara Yuma when it talks about Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur and the man are interconnected. Therefore, since Yom Kippur and Purim are related, on Purim we too have a man-like experience, and that's called Mishloach Manot. And just like the man was in a kufsa, the man was something underneath it and something on top of it, so it shouldn't get any negative forces. We too put our Mishloach Manot in a container. We cover it with something on top, and that covering in the container remind us of the man. That our job in our Mishloach Manot is to ensure that our physical food should take on a dimension of the man, of a spiritual aspect, albeit that it's physical. And hence we understand that there are seven heavens, and there's one heaven, the Gemara Chagiga, Yubayz Amar Beis, in 31 points out, one of the seven heavens, it's called Shchakim, mills, where the Malachim are making man for the Tzaddikim. Shchakim is also related to Shchok, to joy. It's in the place of joy that man is made. I'll just add a parenthesis here. I'm trying, Mirz Hashem, this year to make my Purim theme. I always try to pick one idea from the Purim Shir about man. And to take items in the Mishloach Manot, put it in a container, that have to do with man. So we know that man was Kizera God. Zera is seeds, to have seeds in it. God, there is in Israel a brand of cheeses and yogurts called God. God chooses to have one of those. It was known as, like, wafers. There are man, the company is man wafers. And it's described as honey, to include something with honey in it. And, of course, a bottle of grape juice to write that we are grateful Jews who do not whine. Okay, now let's get back into taking a glimpse into the Megillah itself, and that's the Sefer Esterim Sheba Esther, Rav Rivlin, where he points out that he has a whole essay on Yom Kippur and Purim, and he has a chapter on Tshuva, and he says, obviously, by Tshuva of Yom Kippur, Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper lechem lefnei Hashem, clearly Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva. What about in the Megillah? So he notes here in the bottom circle asterisk, so Esther Gishacher, Esther refuses to go to the king unless there is proper preparation. And that is Shekodim Kol Tzarich Lachzor B'tshuva. Esther understood there's no way she can go straight to the king without having a tshuva, massive tshuva movement. And therefore, what does she say? Lech knosa kol yehudim. First and foremost, you have to gather the Jews together. They were amafos over farav ben amim. They were scattered and separate. First act of tshuva is connecting them together. And indeed, the fact that we have Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lavyonim, and even Suda, the feast is in order to bring people together. The fact that you give Mishloach Manos to somebody, that's the tshuva of the problem we have of dispersion. And don't only give it to your friends, give it to anyone, in your neighbors, the people who are Jewish, create actos, create Jews, give it to business people, give it to work associates, create this feeling of actos. And she also says, "V'tzumo live al tachlu v'al tishu shlosha jamin, to fast for me, don't eat and drink for 3 days." And obviously, the fasting is the Tanis Esther v'yashav al Hashem v'cholu v'avo, that we have to repent to Hashem like they did in the time of Esther. So clearly, he says, "V'purim atshuva kemo revivim achirim shakdusha sayon smuya nister." Clearly, the Yom Kippur theme of tshuva is hidden. It's hinted between the psukim of the Megillah and of the halachos of the Chag, and we know the midrashim that Mordechai got the children together, and then the crying. We know all of this. We have to understand. We don't look at, you know, Purim as a day of tshuva. We look at Purim as a day of fun and good. But keep in mind that Purim and Yom Kippur are synonymous. We have the tshuva that was elicited by the lottery. We have the tshuva, which is a preparation for receiving of the Torah. And the whole idea of being able to elevate the physical among the spiritual, among the physical, to create the man in the Mishloach Manot, that too is tshuva, being able to take what Hashem gives us and elevate it for spiritual purposes. So indeed, a theme that runs through whatever, you know, you want to call it a scarlet color with a little bit of white, right? Based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, whatever imagery you want to use, this is the theme, a thread within the Megillah of a call of tshuva, and Tanis Esther for sure is that aspect of tshuva. But let's talk about Purim itself. Where do you have, we spoke about the Mishloach Manos and creating unity, where else do you have, how does Purim manifest itself as a day of tshuva? So now we're coming to the last part of our shir. What is the difference between Purim and Yom Kippur? So let's learn together, my friends, a piece from the Nesivos Shalom Muslim and a Rebbe. And he says, V'chiper Aaron akornatav pasuk in Parashat Tetzaveh, and Aaron will gain forgiveness on the corners of the Mizbeach with the blood, with the dam, achas b'shana, once a year, midam chataat ha-kippurim, from the blood of the korban chataat. Achas b'shana, once a year, yechaper alevel dorseichem kodesh kadoshim hu la-Hashem, you will gain forgiveness for all generations, it's a holy day to Hashem. So ask the Nesiv Shalom, why do we have achas b'shana, once a year, written twice? And he says there are two once a years. There's a once a year at Achas B'Shana, which is Yom Kippur. That's the day you put the blood on the different corners of the Mizbeach. And then there's an Achas B'Shana that's L'dor HaSeichem, that's for all generations, and that's the Achas B'Shana, the once a year of Tshuva of Peru. And he notes what's the difference in the bracket in 37, Yom Kippurim Hi Achas B'Shana B'Midas HaYira. Yom Kippur is a once a year in the aspect of awe. Upurim hi achas b'shana b'midas ava. It's a once a year in the aspect of love. This is why Purim in 38 will be around even in the future. And this also explains that by Yom Kippur, the end of 38, ki b'yom kippurim gemara chatima hi l'mi shadayin lo nechtam dino. On Yom Kippur, you're able to avert a decree if it hasn't been signed and sealed. You can do tshuva and change the decree. Ve'ilu Purim, double underline, kocho gadol. Purim have even a greater power. Shafilu achar shenechtav v'nechtam v'tabad ha-melech. Even when it's signed and sealed with the signet ring of the king. Malko shalolam, ribona shalolam. Niftach shar chadash likroa exar hadin. A new opening is open to break this gzar din, bivchinat, this decree. Similar to Bechenavol HaMelech Asher Lo Kadat, like Esther, walked into the king's palace uninvited. Hainu, ki api adan, hari kvar nechtav gzar din. Right? According to the law, it was already done with. Ach bekoach midas ha'av, however, with love, shini torah bepurim, that is awakened on Purim. Al kol pshayim techasa ava. When you have love, you overlook so much. V'niftach hashara chadash lavo al ha-melech asher lo kadak gam lachar gzar din. And you're able to enter into the king's palace even after there is a decree. This imagery of the different types of tshuva, he draws out in 40a and 40b. So let's say you have some type of tension, altercation, blockage between somebody. So there are different ways that you can be able to, you know, reconnect. One way is to go over to the person and say, I'm sorry I did X. I'm sorry I said Y. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And that way is, you know, you almost go over a little bit reticent, and you mumble, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like the story of a person comes to the rabbi and says, you know, I feel bad for what I did to somebody, but I'm too embarrassed to ask them for forgiveness. What should I do? So the rabbi says, I have a great plan. This is a joke, yeah. Erev Yom Kippur, 3 o'clock, call the person up. Let's say his name is Mr. Schwartz. And you say to him, Mr. Cohn? He answers and you say, Mr. Cohn? He says, no, no, no. Hello, Mr. Cohn? No, no, no. You're not Mr. Cohn? No, no, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Sure. And hang up and he forgave you. Be that as it may, it's hard. It's hard to say, I'm sorry. It's hard to apologize. It's hard. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Ochet Shechatanu, Ochet Shechatanu, the imagery of a home where you have to take it brick by brick, step by step, stone by stone, to break the wall that's between us and Hashem, that barrier. And then there's another way, where you go over to the person, you give them a big bear hug, and you say, I'm sorry, I love you. That's like a stick of dynamite that just blows up the whole building and reconnects the person. That's Purim. The Ava of Purim is not necessarily in doing anything different. It's not a yontif. It's a regular day. But here's the gadlus. In the regular day, in the regular person in the regular day, to be able to infuse it with connection to Hashem. Just to take a peek in 47, Anu migalim b'pnimiutenu shelanu Rav Pinkas Zatzal, shein od mavado. Purim is a day where we know, where we access, there is none other like Hashem. V'zeo yom esuga lizkot l'zeh l'agil l'nitkuda zu v'dveikus l'kutchabrichus b'pnimius. To connect to Hashem in a real inner way. Shelo rak b'beit ha-medrash. Not only in the Beit Knesset or in learning, but rather b'chol matzav sh'nimtzav ol Yehudi. You're in the pharmacy, you're in the dry cleaner, you're in your kitchen, you're at work, it doesn't matter. Purim is a day, in my regular asher yatzar, in my regular aspects of life, that I'm singing all day, Ashreinu Matov Chakenu, that all I want to do is connect with Hashem, that I feel this joy in this relationship. That's the Simcha of Purim. It's the joy that I have mitzvahs to do. You know, they tell a story, a very famous story, of a Rebbe in a fifth grade class in Munsing, where he has a student who is like that dream child that if you get every 10 years, you're like, whoa. The kid who sits in front and is ready to learn and listen is always online and always does homework. It's like this dream child. And he went to the principal once and he said, I've never had a child like this. And the principal just said, there's a story. Isn't there always a story? So the mother comes back at school night. He wants to know the story. And he says to the, wow, this mother, I've never had a boy like this. She says, he's not Jewish. He's what? He's not Jewish? So she explains. She says, we converted. I converted after he was already born. So all my children have been converted, but it's conversion all tonight. When they're bar and bat mitzvah, they have to decide whether they want to keep Torah mitzvahs or not. She says, I can't imagine that my children would not want to choose this path. However, I can't guarantee that. So I go out of my way to make sure that Torah and Yiddishkeit is the most pleasurable, the most amazing, the most, whatever word you want to use, fill in the blank, experience possible. We light candles, we sing and dance. We have Shabbos parties. Every mitzvah is exciting and wonderful. So that when they come to the age of 13 and they're asked, would you like to keep mitzvahs? The answer is going to be, in effect, of course, without even question. Why can't we, all of us, live our lives that way? Just because we were perhaps born Jewish, we take it for granted? Purim is that day, almost, of re-accepting the Torah. It's like, this is what we want! Of course we want Torah! This is our day to say, like, there's nothing that makes me happier. How do I express this in everything that I do? Every bracha, every eating, it's a day of connection. It's a day of love. But my friends, and listen closely, we've done these ideas before, but we're probably going to do it year after year. It's also a day of tremendous tefillah. Let's talk about the love, and then we'll get to the tefillah. There's an idea we have not done before, and that's again Rav Kluger and Shavit HaZahav. He notes, based on the Arizal, that the number 13 appears over and over again in the Megillah. You have the 13th day of Adar was the day of the lottery. The day the lottery was chosen, the 13th day of Nisan. Achashverosh's 13th rule. That year was an Eber year, it was the 13th month. 13 appears over and over again. The word that appears over and over again throughout the Megillah is Metzias Chein. The word chein. And when you listen to the Megillah, be attuned to this. I'm in Source 42. Imatzati chein beinecha. Vatan Esther Maka Vatumatzati chein beinecha hamela. Vati Esther no say chein beine koroa. Vayahava melech and Esther Mikolna Shimatisa chein vachasala fanamikola betulot. Everything is Vahikirota melech and Esther Maka Medabachatzer Nasa chein beinev. The word chein is over and over again. You know what chein is about? Chein is about not based on a no talud b'maisim kitzonim. It's not based on us. Elohi 43 nekudah shel shaychus v'kesher pnimi l'mala mitam v'das. It's about an intrinsic, eternal love. That's not logical. It's just there. And now we can appreciate that the 13 reminds us of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of love, of love between us and Hashem. And I will find favor to who I find favor. even if Darshu Chazal 45 double squiggly, Afa Pishino Hagun Veno Ra'ui, even if Veno Kedai, even if we're not worthy, Hashem will love us for us. You know what the theme of Purim is? Again, thousands of Hershey kisses coming down. The theme of Purim is pure love. Matzati Chein. Hashem finds favor in our eyes even if we're not worthy. It's just opening ourselves up to this continuous love. And as my daughter who heard this year said to me, it's interesting, Ima, that Chein in Gematria Kata, Chet is 8, Nun. Gematria Kata means you knock off the 0, is 5. 8 and 5 is 13. Chein itself is the Yud Gimel, which is also the Ava, love. That's what Purim is about. Maybe I should next year do a Chein theme, which is also something to think about. This is it. It's about love. And it's because it's about love, my friends. It's a time of our tshuva mi'ava, our tshuva out of love. How is it manifested? Just wanting to be connected to Hashem. How is it kivyachol manifested from the Ribono Shel Olam's perspective? The gates of prayer are open. Kol ha'poshek yad yeah, notnim lo, whoever opens their hands, Hashem, right, we give staka, Hashem gives to us. And we know we've done this before in 46. Shehuva b'tzifrei kodesh, this is Rav Biederman, a footnote in Berachayim. Sha'oros hayordim b'yom ha'kipurim b'eid amiras kesem. Miskalim b'chol sha'os hayamama d'yom ha'purim. The height of Yom Kippur, going back to the imagery between the two, the height of Yom Kippur is keser, nusach svar, the Kedusha, Natishach, Naritzach, and Kedusha of Ashkenaz. Imagine the Elah saying Kesser, saying Kedusha. That is the height of love and connection and intimacy with Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's these moments that you have throughout Yom Kippur that you have to latch onto. Those intense moments of such clear connection is every single moment of Purim. That's Purim. Purim is Kol Kula Kedusha. Purim, the gates are open to David. Purim, even if there's a Gzeira Shelo Kedat, Ubechein Avo Olamelech, he's still David. The power of a tefillah on Purim cannot compare to any other day. And that's why it behooves us to carve out time for davening. Just like in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you make it to shul. You're going to go to shul anyway, perhaps for Megillah, and everyone, whatever stage of life. Go to shul a little bit earlier. Daven with the Tzibur. Daven a Shemoneh Esrei. Daven Mincha. If you can't daven Shacharis, go find Daven Mincha with the Tzibur. Right? Mincha shorter. During the Suda, daven. After the Megillah reading, night and day, daven. The gates are open. The heavens are open. It's the highest time of the year. Pesach is where Pinkus Atal begins. The calendar year and the epitome, what will be found forever, is Purim. And we'll end with the Mashal that Rav Biederman brings in 46, alludes to, and the Nesiva Shalom in 39. The mashal is of a king who wants to bring his crown from place A to place B. So the king, this bedecked jeweled crown, is not going to put it in a royal carriage, because then the robbers are going to come take it. So he takes some shmatas, puts it on the carriage, and then he sends it off to go from point A to point B. I always say this about dignitaries. Why do they go in such a parade with these honking horns and flags and black, you know, limousines? Everyone knows that there's a dignitary there. Trust me, if they would go on my 12-year-old Toyota, nobody would know that there's a dignitary in that car. I'm telling you, nobody would even think twice. It's that I think I can motto of this blue engine. It's the car. So that's Purim, my friends. Purim is the dignitary, it's the keser, it's the highest level of the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol manifestation in this world. How does Hashem appear in this world? He appears in this world with such intensity of love. Because of that, he doesn't want the satan to have a handle in this, just like the satan's not found in Yom Kippur. The satan on Purim looks down and says, shaving cream on cars, people drunk, dressing up, checking out of here. There's no reason to be here. We can't be fooled. When we dress up, we remind ourselves that to really be under all those rags is the preciousness of us and our relationship with Hashem. We can't get caught up in the outer trappings without hitting the inner trappings. And this is where Schlesinger clearly says at the end of 48, he says we have to be careful throughout Purim as well as by the Megillah. That of course there has to be this merrymaking and this simcha. That outer impacts the inner. But the outer without the inner is making a mockery of that which is so holy and that which is so important. And that's why we have to be careful. We have to be careful that on Purim we don't lose our focus of why we're happy. We're happy with this relationship. And that's why we know that Purim, the Suda of Purim, is brought down in the Sfarim, goes into the night. That we're able to take Purim with us to the next dimension, to the darkness, to the times where it's hard to connect. And many people will end their Purim Suda with Kunzitzung, with Shirei Neshama, with really feeling in the deep depth of our heart. After all the jolly merrymaking and all the gramen, let's get to the core of what Purim is about. Purim is about the Shirei Neshama, the singing the songs that will allow me to connect to a higher being where I feel Hashem's presence in my life. So therefore, my friends, what we try to see today is that the thread through Purim, the Megillah, and the whole Purim experience is that of tshuva. What type of tshuva? Tshuva me'ava, tshuva of love. How does it manifest itself? Well, we saw it in the lottery that it was an impetus to do tshuva. We saw it in the aspect of Kabbalah, Satorah, where we felt Hashem's love for us even if we didn't deserve it, and that was an impetus to re-accept the Torah. We saw it in the idea of being able to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual, the manot, of the aspect of man. We understand that Tanis Esther is that preparation of intense tshuva before the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim. The difference between Yom Kippur and Purim, they're really two sides of the whole. We're celebrating Mamad Har Sinai Kabbalah Satorah. The two sides of the whole is that Purim is really tshuva me'ava, while Yom Kippur is the tshuva me'ira. The tshuva me'ava is everything I do is reflection of my love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That when I feel these Hershey kisses, I know that the heavens are opened up, that my behavior should be a reflection of this level of connection, and that I take the opportunity, that I don't get lost in all of those outer trappings, and take the opportunity to mamish daven, to be able to daven, whether with a sibur or alone, whatever it is, but to build in that, carve out that time for personal davening, to be able to utilize this as a time of connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we should be zocha, that we daven for ourselves, for our community, for Am Yisrael, our tefillah should be answered l'tova and l'bracha.